morning, everyone. I'm your host for the morning. This is Andrew Hart. Welcome to Declare Victory. We're so happy to have you join us this morning, and I know that you will be blessed by what you hear, what you feel. Prayer requests from the app have not been added to this morning, so we'll go with the order of the call this moment. Scripture this morning will be read by Brother Eric. The declaration will be brought by Brother Moses. First prayer warrior is going to be Brother Nelson. Second prayer warrior will be Brother Jeff. That order once again. Eric will be bringing the scripture for us. Moses will be bringing the declaration. First prayer warrior will be Nelson. Second prayer warrior will be Jeff. Please, ma'am, please share. Use the standard mute feature on your phone to mute your line so that the continuity and clarity of the call will be shared by everyone. At this moment, I pass the call. Brother Eric.
And right before we do that, I still hear background noise, and I'm looking for it, but I can't find it. Can you please, ma'am, double check, triple check, quadruple check, and make sure that your lines are muted so that we can hear with clarity and so that we are not someone else's hindrance this morning. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Eric.
Good morning, family. I'll be reading to you from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Hear the word of the Lord. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. I pass the call.
Good morning. I just want to thank everybody for the opportunity to be speaking today. And I want to actually just kind of give an outline first, actually, about how I would be doing the next three Fridays. I wanted to do a development series, and it would be broken into three parts. And I wanted to start tie in discipleship, evangelism, and fellowship, and how each one is tied in our overall walk, and how we kind of incorporate each one of those subjects in our everyday life, and how we see where it's brought us to where we're currently at and where we're going right now. So for part one, I wanted to talk about discipleship, and I wanted to... Actually, I just want to just start off real quick with a quick prayer. Father, I ask that you just speak today through this line, through not just myself, but everybody on the line today. I ask that you just silence the voice of the enemy, Father, on every heart. Father, I ask that you just bring peace, Father, that we're able to receive and to give today, and we're able to speak from your heart today, not from ours. And I ask that the message be your message, Father. In Jesus' name, I thank you. So part one is about discipleship, and it's how God prepares our hearts to prepare others. And I just wanted to talk about, you know, kind of where it's going to be broken into three points. The first major point is that we are called. The second is that we are taught. And then the third is that we are the message. And this is how... through our training for discipleship, it actually trains us for the evangelism, which would be part two. So part one is that we are called. And the verse for this is, "And calling the crowd to him with disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" And this is out of Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And the point to take in this is that when Jesus was kind of building his ministry and calling the apostles, the one thing I wanted to take from this is that Jesus was not calling like the top of the line. He wasn't calling the most qualified Pharisees of the time or whoever was the most popular leader. He was going to people who he could see. He was looking for something different. He was looking for, and he constantly reiterates this throughout his ministry, that, you know, that man looks at, actually, really the Bible reiterates this constant times, is that, you know, man looks at outward things, but God looks at the heart. And this is one of the things that we see that Jesus was looking for when he was picking people for his ministry, is that he was picking people that were... people were just kind of shocked at, like, really, this is who he's picking? This is kind of the person? Because immediately at looking at it, these are people with kind of, like, sketchy paths, sketchy, like, job fields, you know, like with fishermen, and these weren't, like, the richest people, tax collectors. They weren't necessarily even respected in the community. But he wasn't looking at those things. He wasn't looking at the things that man looks at. And this can open, like, a whole... really just like a whole bunch of like insecurity stuff towards ministry, towards how we feel about the things that we're called to do, the faith in our ability to do the things we're called to do. But the biggest point that I want to take from, that I really want to kind of like paint with this first, the first point that us being called is it isn't really a one-time thing. We have to understand that God chose us for a very specific reason to do the work that he's already had planned for us. But that has nothing to do with us. It has his. It's with his ability to kind of sculpt our heart and change us and grow and do a work in us. And as I was praying and kind of just trying to hear from God on, you know, what he really wanted to speak through on for these next three Fridays that I was going to be speaking, was primarily I really felt my heart big time for me to look back and remember where I've kind of come from, and like where God has called me from there, and what he has done to shape me in that. And that's what I really, really found in this first point. I was driving and I was praying. It was, I was in traffic, you know, it was raining. I was kind of having like a hard day already. And, just you know, busy, like the, you know, you get busy with everything running around. And I was running around trying to travel and 101 traffic and everything. And I was just really kind of bummed out, but you know, I was praying and had a little bit of worship on and just trying to just talk to God and pray in the car. And I felt God showing me, before I started planning anything, before I started really, trying to get too far into any message, I felt God saying, Moses, look how much I've done with you. Look how and he like really emphasized that. Look how much I've done with you. Look how much I've done for you and through you to just to train you, just to sculpt you. And I really, truly, like, I didn't think about anything theologically. I didn't think about any specific scripture yet. You know, I've been putting scriptures on my heart, but I really did think about that. And I think that's the biggest thing when we're beginning, our kind of like overall will of God, when we're kind of piecing everything together, we have to really truly look at the work that God has put in time for sure with every single person that has says yes. And the main verse that I'll get to later, about, you know, denying ourselves, picking up our cross daily and following him to get to that process. He's done so much. And we see that in Mark and in the Gospels that, he did spend time, a lot of time training. He very, very, very much cares because we're an investment to God. We're, I mean, obviously more than an investment, but he does invest a lot in the work that he does through us. And I started thinking about that. I was you know, I was in traffic, and I started thinking about every lesson that I've learned. And this is like a daily thing almost. Every time I've talked with somebody and I kind of learned something through what they were going through, and the way God allowed me to see their situation in a way that not only helped me to help them, but it helped me to realize things in my own life. And I've been able to work alongside certain leaders and as like a kind of, I don't know how to say, like kind of like a, you know, kind of like a, more like an assistant, kind of just meeting with them, praying, helping them with the things that they go through, and just being there for them. And you kind of get a really, you get an insight sometimes because you see somebody at church who, you know, they're up on the pulpit a lot, and people see them as that speaker, and they see that image of them, but this is a person who has bills, who has family problems, who has insecurities, troubles, all these other things, and by being close with them, you kind of learn things on your own, and you kind of puts things into perspective on your own life, and you see that no one's perfect. No matter where someone's at, everybody battles, everybody goes through the same struggle. But it starts to like teach you that God really can work through anybody, and that it has nothing to do with our own ability, has nothing to do with our qualifications, that He calls us based off our willingness to serve Him. And our ministry and our ability to serve Him and do a good job all reflects on our willingness to continually humble ourselves and seek Him, because He develops character. He doesn't really develop all these other things like, oh, they preach this and that, and they, you know, save X amount of people or whatever. Those are great things for the kingdom, but God definitely cares about our character because He desires a relationship with us, and our character is what affects the dynamics of our relationship with Him and our ability to humble ourselves and go towards Him. So the very first thing is understanding where we came from, because it continually puts our walk with Him in perspective. And I just started seeing that as He was speaking to me in traffic, and it just started to encourage me, even as, like, you know, everybody's life's gonna, you know, it's crazy all the time, you know, everything you think about, you know, all the issues we face on a daily basis is kind of staggering sometimes, you know. But it's good to understand, you know, the saying, you got to know where you come from to know where you're going. And it's like, I see it, the way He made me think of it is like, I'm not married, but the way he made me think of it is like a wedding anniversary. It's like you celebrate, you know, married people celebrate a wedding every year. You know, they come together once a year to remember the love that started this beautiful relationship, right? And the relationship, no matter what it's gone through, to honor it, you know, the tough times, the good times, you know, all these things. And He really started having me commemorate how far he's come with me. And that was huge for me. That was huge because it started to put my problems into perspective, actually. And it started to put my faith into perspective. And it started to put my ability to trust God through the tough times, because I started to remember, you know, and this is very, on a practical level, it's actually really good, because I started realizing, man, I'm going to be all right. Like, this is going to be okay. God has brought me through so much. And in that, I started to, it becomes like fuel. It becomes like a, you know, you kind of just remember your love. You remember that love and that compassion you were shown, and God helping you. And it's so beautiful. It's such a good feeling. Do you remember why you're doing this? You cancel out the noise, all the chaos, everything, of maybe even ministry, if you're doing ministry full time, of work. And you kind of just rest in the fact that God has called you, that God has trusted you, that God has cared to partner with you. And this is a really, crucial thing, I think. It's a very crucial foundation from what I saw, because we build part two and three from there, on top of that. And you have to have a solid, it has to be a foundation of a genuine, real thing. You know, just like a house, it has to be a good foundation for the house to be built. And God builds that on love. And we know about grace and mercy and all these other things now, you know. And it's real because it's based on that. Because you accept somebody for who they are when you build a relationship with them, when you call with them, when you get into a dedicated relationship with them. And that's really what kind of, you know, reminds you and sustains throughout the entirety of a relationship, is this person decided to commit with me. And that's what God decided to do when He called us. he chose to partner with us. But we get so much more of that. You know, you don't look at a marriage necessarily as a partnership because there's so much love and sacrifice. But it's essentially that kind of, you know, such the bride of Christ, you know, whole same concept, the unity concept is still very prominent in there. And when you realize that, when you kind of realize, like, wow, God cared to develop me, to do all this work through me and, like, teach me things week after week through every interaction, every person, it starts to help you with the second part, and it gives you hope for the second part. And the second part of the message is that he's consistently teaching us. He's consistently shaping us. And this is, there's two parts to this, really. The fact that, so the verse part two that I wanted to read now real quick is, I'm sorry, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's out of John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. But that is actually the verse of the kind of message. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But I'll kind of break that one down too with all this as it pertains to all this. It's spending time with God. And we see that with the apostles and everybody and, you know, everybody that Jesus chose for ministry, they constantly were together. It wasn't a, like, once a week just meeting with Jesus type deal. They literally went into a legit, real, like, relationship with Jesus. Like, and a relationship, like I said earlier, like a partnership almost, where they were, like, a full-time job with him, like, every day. But it wasn't anything crazy, actually. Really, it was just spending time. All they did was really just spend time with him. And that's all we're called to do to strengthen our walk with him, is to just spend time with him. And I've noticed that in my own life, is that when I don't spend time with God, and it doesn't matter even, if it's 15 minutes of real 15 minutes, my life will show strongly that I'm spending time with God. Even if it's real, like, worshiping and praying, like, genuinely and hearing from God for, like, 20, 30 minutes, even sometimes 10 minutes I've had before, 15 minutes, my life will reflect it. Doors will open. Things are just kind of, it's still hard. You know, life is still life, but things are easier for me, you know, because I have this peace. I have this trust in God. I have this direction, this guidance. And that's how we're taught. In the same way you have to be taught by someone, you have to spend time with them. You have to interact with them. You have to continually go to them. You have to continually go to that source. You have to be around them, and it just makes sense practically. And if you're going to take a class, you got to show up to learn anything. And that's what's done in our relationship by spending time. And it's just the same way with any regular real life, you know, not, you know, kind of personal interaction relationship. You know, to have a strong bond with that person, you have to do things with them. If you're not, I've been in relationships before where I didn't really spend, you know, quality time with the person, and, you know, we kind of suffered for that because there wasn't really any kind of intentional quality time there. You kind of, it just becomes like kind of business. You just kind of just like go to this dinner, this event, or this thing, and then there's no real connection there. And the same thing often, especially, you know, serving in church and seeing and then helping, you know, a lot of people in certain positions, it can easily become a business, and you don't get that real connection anymore. You don't get that, you know, like, it's like, what if your kids were just constantly, I think about my parents like this. What if I just always went, only interaction with my parents was like, hey, can you guys get money? Hey, can you guys come to this? Hey, can you guys help me do that? Hey, but I never went to get lunch with them. I never went to, you know, have a, you know, family Sunday night, you know, barbecue or something, you know what I mean? And we never went to the movies together. We never did anything together. Our relationship would reflect that if we never spent time together. And then it's sincere, intentional time, not me just coming over and, you know, being here for a little while just so I can get something in return, but genuinely enjoying them for who they are. And this ties back to point one, is that God develops our character in that. And that's what happens, is that our character directly reflects the strength of some of our relationships, because if, you know, in my life, I've kind of, when I was younger, I used to be very, like, just like a user, like, just very, like, manipulative, just wanted my own things, like, just, I cared about myself, like, I, you know, just relationships, even with family, just wanting, only spending time to get things myself, and it has just, it reflected because I started to feel alone because I didn't have any sincere relationships built. But sometimes we can do that with the cloak of religion over our minds. Sometimes we can do that with, I am doing the right thing by spending time here with this person, and then it once 10 minutes is up, all right, my 10 minutes is up, I'm done, see ya, take care. You know, it has to genuinely come from a sincere heart for us to really see it, and it becomes real. And, man, I've seen that so much in my life. I really have that. When that kind of creeps back in, that kind of mentality creeps back in, I just see how good God is, that it just shows you God's love even more, that he's still willing to be patient and to be there and wait with us as we develop through these. And that's one of the things he was speaking when I was in the car, is like, look at how many opportunities I've given you, Moses. Look how many times I've walked with you, I've waited with you, I've been patient with you. And it's good to note all this, because this stuff is going to directly affect next week, where I talk about now how we take everything that we've done in part one, everything God's done with us, how he's worked with us, and then now we got to start applying it to other people, you know, with, you know, evangelism and then so on and so forth from there. But, you know, for the time being, he's got to work on, it happens with us first before he picked people. Ever, the timing was very weird. Jesus, he didn't like go out and do all the years of ministry, and then right before he's about to be, you know, crucified or anything, he picks 12 people. It was the opposite. You know, he developed first the people that were, he developed his the continuation of him. It's a continuation of what he was doing. So it's us first. We get developed first before we start developing other people. You know, somebody who gave their life to God, they're not, second day number two, they're not going to start a 2,000-person church. You know, you got to be developed first. And even with leadership, sometimes you have to meet certain prereqs at certain churches to be in a position of authority and leadership over a certain ministry, or to even serve on a certain ministry, right? And I think we would all kind of agree with that, too, to a certain extent. You want to trust somebody who can weather the storm, and that is literally word for word what we even saw, too. Because look at the church today that came from 12 people, because Jesus did his job legit, like super legit, and he developed 12 people. He developed 12 people, full-time, everyday relationship, and today is the biggest religion in the world. In 2,000 years, you're talking billions of people that came from 12 people. You know, that's crazy. But it's because he intentionally cared and developed and worked with and lived with 12 people every single day. And even if there was 12 people listening to us today, you know, we have that same power within us. It's the same God working within us that cares for us, that knows every bill that we have to pay, that knows every heartache that we've lived with, that knows every hurt that we've gone through. And so I said, again, it's so important to keep the past, how God has brought us through everything, in perspective to what he's doing now and sculpting us. So, you know, kind of have, you know, the definite thing from that is to understand that there's hope. There's hope in every heartache. There's hope in every tragedy that we're currently going through, you know. And it's really definitely more than just to keep your head up, but it's to keep your head up for all the seeds that you're going to plant. It's to keep your head up for all the people that are going to be affected, the grandkids that are going to learn from their grandparents that heard you speak or that you prayed for. You know, think about things like that. That's crazy to us. You know what I mean? To think about, but he's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he will speak through each one of us, and he will work through each one of us because he's partnered. He's already chose to partner with us. It's already decided. So it's good in keeping that in mind. You know, point two is that, you know, we ourselves are sculpted after we're called. And this is big to the fact that the reason why is that each one of us, we are a unique message. We are a very, very, there's no other person like each one of us. And this is part three. part three is we are the message. And the verse for this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And it says that, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And that now is kind of wrapping up the whole part of God working within each one of us. And it's kind of like seeing a car or like a house or like a fixer-up project or for anything, you know. And you kind of see, like, everybody else is like, what, man, that's a pile of junk. What do you, why are you going to waste your money on that? And, you know, you just know, like, I know what I can do with that, though. Like, I can, you know, I can buy a new this or that. Or if it's a house, for example, and be like, no, you know, we just put some, you know, hardwood floor, just change the countertops. Yeah, I could do some real work here. And you start seeing the vision of what it is. And even scripturally, you know, so many places throughout the Bible where God talks, even in Jeremiah 29, where he talks about the plans he has for us. God knew the sin. He knew the downfalls. He knew the price. He knew the amount of work that was going to go into each one of us. And he still said, yeah, I'm going to spend on this. I'm going to pay a price. And when he found out what the price is, he did it. You know, the price of sending his son to die for us. Yep, I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay a big price because I know what they can be. I know what they can become. And I know that genuinely for me daily, that inspires me. That warms my heart. That God was willing to pay a price in all my insecurities, and there are a lot, and all my fears, and all my, man, I'm like, I battle so much stuff. I'm very, extremely far, extremely, extremely far from being worthy of that price paid. But it doesn't matter because I feel and know the work that God is doing through me, and that's a big thing to remember. Always remember the work that God is always doing through you. It wasn't just that one day that you got saved. We are called, but we are taught to, because we are the message. He continues his work every day. He goes to work every day for us. And this is what I found. I found that there was a certain something about me that God wanted. And it's two parts. One, because he just loves relationship with us, which is why I incorporated part two, is he just wants to be spending time with his, what he bought, what he paid for, you know, the love that he spent to have a relationship with us. You buy a house, you know, you want to be at home. You're not going to be out all the time. You want to buy a home because you care about it. You care about the work you're putting in. You care about having it. You care about reaping the rewards of building it up. But this is true in the sense that each one of us has a very, very unique message. And, you know, this is big for me because I've compared myself with other people. I'm like, I'm going to be 27 in like a week. And I have some friends that are like, man, they're like traveling the world with ministry. And like, they're in this country and they're in that country. And people I grew up with are this and that. And, you know, I'm just like, it gets real easy for me right now in this phase of my life. I don't have kids. I'm not married. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Like, you know, all my friends are getting married. Every one of my friends married. I'm just like, man, dang, you know, you get a lot of pressure sometimes, you know, and you compare yourself and everybody's looking at you. They're like, well, when are you going to have kids? You know, when are you getting married? And I'm just like, dang, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't, you know, you start to worry. And then it can open, like I said, the insecurity is allowed. It can really bring a lot of things. There's something wrong with you. Is it this and that? But you have to remember, God cared to call you. You have to remember who you are. That's why I said it's so important to constantly keep all of where we've come from in mind, because it affects where we're going. And that saying is so true. You got to know where you come from, know where you're going, and to know that your God is qualifying you as we speak, even in this very moment. He's qualifying all of us as we go. And it goes back to the thing: we are the message. The work God has done in each one of us is to develop the core of our character so that the true us can shine through. And this is why that verse is the main point. And the truth will set you free. It's just like I said, a lie can start to come against us. The opposite of the truth is always what causes us to sin. You know, you're alone or something, so you should go act out or do something in loneliness, whatever it could be, you know, promiscuity or lust or drugs or, you know, you name it, whatever. It's always a lie that causes us to do something that's opposite of what is true. And the truth shall set you free, and you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. through us spending time with God, we learn the truth. You're not alone. You're not a failure. You're not this. You're not that. What the world calls us, what everybody says, you shouldn't buy that house. Remember that? Remember that? And God says, I think I am. I think I'm going to build it up. I know that I am, and I'm going to build it up. The truth, and the truth will set you free. The reason why God works our character is because that's the true us. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, all the lies of the flesh and everything. It's so that the true us can shine through, because the true us is the message. When we are ourselves, when we're comfortable being our own person and in our own skin, that's when the true message that God saw, that's when it starts to come out. And he reminds, and the truth will set you free. When you know that I'm not alone. And loneliness can cause us to do a lot of things. I know loneliness has caused me to do probably 90% of the stupid stuff that I do. But the truth of it is that I'm not alone. I have very much have a relationship with a God who loves me and who cares for me and who's moved heaven and hell to reach me. It's a lie that I'm alone. That's absolutely a lie. I've never been alone, actually. He knew me before I was shaped in my mother's womb, right? And, you know, we know those things, and that's scripture, you know, that's told to us. But it's because there's a true core to us that God cares for the world to see. And this true core of us pertains to the overall message that I really wanted to develop in the 3 weeks, is that, there's a will that God wants us to do, and all of this pertains to it. There's a will, there's an overall that God wants us to cover in our life. And this all pertains to that. So, you know, and us being the message, the biggest thing is just knowing that the truth of our calling is in who we are. It's our personality. It's not that we can prophesy like 30 accurate things a month, or that we can heal 40 people in a week, or that, you know, we can bring in 2,000 people. I'm sorry, we could bring in 2,000 people to our church. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It's us. We are the word. We are the message. We are what God is making his appeal through us, he says in 2 Corinthians, because we are that message. Your personality is your gift, you yourself. And sometimes people act a certain way. They're angry, they're mean, or standoffish because of lies that were told to them. But when you get to know the real somebody, it can kind of change your opinion of some of the things you might have heard about them before. I know that that's been the case for me. I've had people at church, at work, everywhere, when I was in the military, everywhere, that thought a certain way about me before they met me. And when they met me, they were like, wow, you know, like, I've had it happen in my life, you know, to be honest with you. It's because we are the message, and the lies are to distort who we really are. The lies are to cause us to sin, to distort how we see God and how we see ourselves, to make us act a certain way. So like I said, it's always important to keep everything in a proper frame of mind, in a proper frame of reference, to know that we are called, like I said in first point. And the second point, that we are taught, we are shaped with God. He has done work in us to pull out the version of us that he created, and the fact that now that we are the message. So that pretty much wraps it up for today. But I'm going to tell, now that we know that how our hearts are prepared, and how we're called for discipleship and prepared for discipleship. Next week, I'm going to be talking about how we now prepare others, and how we know boundaries, what's ours, what's not our project, what is our project, how we sometimes take on too much. So that'll be next week. I'll be talking about, and in that I'll be talking about evangelism, and it's how we interact with the world around us meaningfully for Christ. And I'll kind of just be building on what I talked about today a little bit. So, you know, if that kind of stuff, you know, I guess pumps you up or whatever, excites you, I would recommend, you know, checking it out too next Friday. But yeah, that's all of it today. And it's to remember that God is constantly doing a work in each one of us, and to just keep your head up. I know that there's a lot of things that we're going through, and there's a lot of reasons why we might be down, bummed out, and so on and so forth. But remember that you are worth it to God. And that is so heartwarming to me personally, to know that I was worth it. There's a God who called me, who taught me, who loved me, and to just be comfortable being yourself too. Like, that's the overall that I really want to take from that is you are the gift. You are the message. It is each one of us. So I'll be doing part two next week of this development type series. And I just want to thank everybody for having me today. I've been keeping tabs on everything else I was talked about discipleship this week, and it's just so heartwarming, and I'm so happy to add to that. And I'm very, very honored to be able to share this with everybody and share some of my story and what I've kind of seen and gathered from all this. So we'll be picking up a discussion about this in a little bit, but I now pass the call.
Thank you, Moses. I appreciate it. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Father, I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity of another day to worship you and to thank you for keeping us alive and healthy, Father. Father, your word tells us that if we repent of our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can approach your throne of grace. Father, I want to thank you for our next generation, Lord, for these young people that you've called to continue the legacy, Lord, of walking the earth, proclaiming the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and through your Son, Yeshua, Lord. Father, your word tells us that you are unshakable, and that because of that truth, that we can be calm in the storms of life. Father, you spoke to us through your word and through your prophets that there would come a time when even the elite would turn away from the faith that you handed down to us from the apostles, Lord. We are now facing these kinds of times, Lord. But your word tells us, Father, that in these times that you have raised a generation to proclaim the good news, Father, and the reconciliation of men and women like us to you, to our Creator. Father, we need your intervention on the earth, Lord. We need your heavenly hosts, Father, to intervene in the affairs of men, Lord. Father, most of all, we need your love to be made manifest in us and in our nation, Lord. Father, we ask for your intervention in our lives today. We ask that you change our hearts and our spirits so that we can be your message, Father. Father, your word tells us to pray for those who govern over us. So we ask you to intervene in the decisions that our leaders make, Father. Father, we pray for our nation, Lord. Father, we pray for the president, for his cabinet, Father, for the judiciary, Lord, for congressmen and senators, Father, for the governorships of our country, Lord, in every state. Father, your word tells us that whenever two or three are gathered together in your name, Lord, when we lift you up, Father, and we lift up our prayers to you, Father, that you will listen and intervene, Lord. Father, I pray for every person that is on this call. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you give them a hunger, Father, for your love, that your love would be made manifest wherever they go today, Lord. Father, that when they walk into their offices or into their homes, Lord, that that love would be made manifest and that that love be the message that our brother Moses talked about today, Lord. And that that message, Father, that love would intervene in the lives and in the environment, Father, that you have us go to today. Oh, Father, there are so many people and families that are represented on this call, Father. You know each and every one of us, Father. You not only know our needs, Father, but you know the solutions. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you pour out your Spirit upon each and every person. Father, that you would convict each and every one of us, Lord, of any lack of righteousness, Father. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us, Lord, who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us, Lord. Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding, Lord, Father, would be opened and that any spiritual blindness, Father, that we have, that you, Father, would help us to see. Father, draw us to you, Lord, in a very powerful way. Father, keep us from temptation, Lord. Keep us, Father, from not allowing your word to penetrate our hearts. Surround us with grace, Father. Surround us with grace. Father, we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And I pass the call.
Brother Jeff, if you're praying, we can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Andrew. I was on mute. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord God, for another day, another morning, another opportunity, Lord God, to bond in fellowship with you, Lord God. Thank you for that message this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Reminding us, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God, that as we keep your commandments, Lord God, hallelujah, that we grow in you, Lord God, and that we become your disciples, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the message, Lord God. Sharing your word, Lord God, that through the truth, Lord God, that we shall be built up. So, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for that message, Lord God, that let us know, Lord God, it is through fellowship, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, that we are built up in you, Lord God. And that we are truly your disciples, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for that message, Lord God, that tells us, Lord God, in relationship, Lord God, with our sons, Lord God, that we must spend time with each other, Lord God, in our relationships, Lord God, with our daughters, Lord God, that we must spend time with each other, Lord God, in our relationships, Lord God, that we must spend time with each other, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. 2017, Friday, Lord God, that you have woke us up, Lord God. Connected, Lord God. Spiritually, Lord God, with our hearts and our minds focused, Lord God. Starting our day off, Lord God. Spending time with you, Lord God. Oh, thank you for that, Lord God. Lord God, we recognize that we have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord God, for the health and strength, Lord God, in our physical bodies, Lord God. So much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we continue, Lord God, to lift those up, Lord God, that are without shelter, Lord God. The weather, Lord God, has been fierce, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, you know, we were in a drought last year, Lord God, and we prayed for rain. Oh, hallelujah. We say thank you for answering our prayers, Lord God, ending of the drought, Lord God. But for those, Lord God, that are without shelter, Lord, oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We lift them up to you, Lord God, and we pray, Lord God, that the city and the county, Lord God, and the state, Lord God, provide shelter, Lord God, for those that are less fortunate than ourselves, Lord God, for those that have their tents, Lord God, on stacks of pallets, Lord God, so that the water don't come in, Lord God. Help them today, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to help them to be of service, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. The declaration, Lord God, talked about discipleship this morning, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to love on those that are less fortunate than ourselves, Lord God, so that they may see the Christ in us, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for your guidance. Oh, hallelujah. Your word, yes, yes, your holy word, Lord God, that leads us and directs us, Lord God, in our daily lives, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for all of our prayer requests, Lord God, all of our loved ones and family members, Lord God, I declare victory, family, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for your son Noah, Lord God, as he traveled this morning, Lord God, him and his entire team, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you cover them today, Lord God, with traveling mercies, Lord God. And for that, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Protect him, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, we lift up your daughter, Wanda, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We pray your strengthening and your healing, Lord God, and your delivering, Lord God, in her body, Lord God. Lord God, you know her needs, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Cover them today, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up your daughter, Otis Goodlow, Lord, to you this morning, Lord God. You know her needs, Lord God. Hallelujah. You know what's going on with her, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. So we pray your protection and your covering, Lord God, over her life, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, for your finished work of the cross, Lord God. Cover us today with your blood, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hide us, Lord God, in you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God, we will keep your commandments, Lord God. Because, Lord God, it was your love, Lord God, that first drawn us, Lord God, and we just want to love you back, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. And as Brother Nelson spoke, Lord God, we lift up the United States of America, Lord God, and we pray your protection and your covering, Lord God, over this great nation, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, we pray and we lift up Donald Trump to you this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Touch his mind, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Touch his soul, Lord God. Hallelujah. Influence, Lord God. Hallelujah. His decision-making, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We place our trust in you, Lord God. So, Lord God, we lift him up, Lord God, along with this nation, Lord God. And we say thank you, Lord God, that it is you, Lord God, that we place our trust in. Oh, hallelujah. So much to be thankful for, Lord God. Lord God, we continue to lift up our children to you this morning, Lord God. We continue to lift up our marriages to you, Lord God. We continue, Lord God, to lift up our neighboring communities, Lord God. Our unsaved loved ones, Lord God, as well as our enemies, Lord God. Search us today, Lord God. Search our hearts, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Let it be sincere, Lord God, whether or not it just be a 5 minutes, Lord God, of quality time that we spend with you, Lord God, so that you may strengthen us and build us up, Lord God, in our inner man, Lord God. So, Lord God, help us to pray, Lord God, in our heavenly language, Lord God, in our private time. Oh, hallelujah. That we be built up in you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. We have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. I lift up the entire Declare Victory prayer line to you this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Every soul, Lord God, and their household that is connected to this prayer line, Lord God, I lift them up to you this morning, Lord God. Cover us today, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. So, Lord God, as we together, Lord God, take our phones off of mute, Lord God, and collectively cry out to you, Lord God, and lift up the name of Jesus, Lord God, we praise you this morning together, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We cry out to you.
It is a new and a fresh day, God. Thank you so much for what you're doing, God. Thank you for allowing us to gather another day. Father, we love you directly. Thank you, and we praise your name, God. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing. Lord, thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for being revived in this season, God. Thank you, Lord, for coming along once a time. God, thank you for being there with us. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Restoration in our family. God, please touch the marriages on this call, God. Just keep us together, Father.
Touch each and every one of us today with your Holy Spirit.
We know, Lord, that you will see us through each and every situation that we're going through, Father, in our lives. And we bless you, God. We honor your holy name. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Father. Thank you so much, God. We love you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we pray, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such an empowered today, God. Andrea and Renee.
For the ministers, for the messengers, Lord. Lord God, for the pastors, for those people prayers.
Thank you,
we stand in need of, Lord God, people who are waiting, Lord God. And you said it's good for those who wait on you, Lord God, that you load us daily with benefits, Lord God, and we thank you for loading us up, Lord God. Teach us to have a heart to seek you, Lord God, a heart to run it. Allow us to be God-changing.
Take them all to another level that only you can,
for the
opportunity,
God,
because you're the only one with the power that can do it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Thank you for being in our presence for two or three
gathering
in your name, you in our midst,
we're calling upon you to be on each and every one of each and every member.
Call on your name, Lord God.
Empowering them to go out and be your disciples.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah to you.
Thank you.
The Lion and the Lamb who
glory to the Lamb of God.
Glorified.
Glory to the Lamb of God. We bow down before you, Lord God. We worship and adore you, Lord God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. We need that you cover, Lord God, the people that are doors in the element, Lord God. Heal the heart of our friends, Lord God. Lord God, give them a Damascus Road experience, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
So
Lord
worthy,
God,
Father.
Protect the people, Lord God, from those executive orders,
so worthy,
Lord God,
Lord.
That I meant.
Oh, thank you,
Lord
God.
Give us wisdom to continue to seek your face, Lord God. Work together like never before, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your standard, Lord God. You said when sin comes in, you would lift up a standard, Lord God. So we thank you for the lifting of your standard, Lord God.
Yes,
oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. So, Lord God, as we prepare, Lord God, to move into the next segment, Lord God, as of the love, life, and victory, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God, for that declaration, Lord God, reminding us, Lord God, that you deserve our quality time, Lord God.
Yes.
And that it is you, Lord God, that our foundation, oh, hallelujah, is built on, Lord God. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. As I pass the call.
Hello, and welcome again to Declare Victory. This is Andrew, your host. I hope you've been blessed by the call thus far. Were there any first-time callers that didn't get a chance to say good morning? If so, now is your time. If anyone this morning joined the call late and couldn't say hello, now is your time.
Good morning, Ms. Lynn.
Good morning, Anne. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Adrian.
Morning, Adrian.
Morning.
Good morning, DZ family.
Good morning, family. It's Dondria.
Morning, Dondria.
Good morning, family.
Good morning, beautiful people. This is
Good morning, this is Saya.
Good morning, you. Morning,
Ruth. Good morning, Isaiah. Good morning, Isaiah.
Good morning, Sister Jay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gift Nigel.
Good morning, Nigel.
Good morning,
Nigel.
Good morning.
Anyone else? Are there any birthdays this morning? Not, we hope you can join us for the next segment of the call, which we call Love, Life, and Victory, which is a discussion or a synopsis of the declaration this morning. Thank you. Stay with us and have a blessed day. I now pass the call.
I just wanted to, this is Moses again, and just wanted to go into a little discussion about the word earlier, but I just wanted to thank our prayer warriors today, to Jeff and Nelson. This very empowering hearing those prayers, and I look up to both of you a lot, so I wanted to say thank you for that. So just a real quick couple-second recap. Today was part one of a development series, and it was preparing our hearts to prepare others and how God has worked through us. So I just wanted to open up to the line for just anyone to share, just if you had a question about something, maybe something was worded a little weird, you wanted to just like know clarification, or if something didn't make sense, or you just want to add something, I just want to completely open it up. Remember, this is part one. Part two is next Friday. I definitely encourage you to come back for that if this was your first time today. I'll be elaborating a little bit more on how now we interact with others now that we know that we've been called and worked on. I just want to totally open the line to any feedback. If you want to, please, I beg you, add on top of what I've already said, please. Thank you. So I'm just opening the line now.
Good morning, Brother Nelson. Great declaration this morning. You opening up your declaration this morning with if we keep his commandments, then we are able to be his disciple. You know, that's not the only time that the word if is mentioned in the Bible. But, you know, if we can believe, you know, that word if, it's like the hugest word in the Bible for me. So that just stood out. Because if I don't keep his commandments, my God, I'm in trouble. You know, and when you said that, I thought about the verse in the Bible where he talked about to them, you know, he gave power to become sons. But if I don't keep his commandments, oh, my God, could you elaborate on that if?
Yeah, definitely. So I was actually just talking about this last night with a friend. The if is like it's whenever Jesus says if, that's like one of the biggest note-taking parts of New Testament. When these are conditional clauses, so we're getting hit with the reality that there's choices that we have to make. We have a choice. We can choose. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. If, you know, this and then there's countless. But Jesus starts this a lot. And there's two outcomes. You can go your own way, or it's usually, if you look at the if statements there, there's usually two outcomes. There's our way, or there's the self-sacrifice. There's the dying to ourselves. And it usually always comes back to that. But Jesus does this a lot, actually, throughout when he's speaking. He always starts it, if this, if that, is a big thing to note, because it's telling us that there's an old self and there's a new self. And it's like I was saying with what he's developing, what we're moving towards, what we want to be more of a reflection of him. So to elaborate on that, it really just comes back to it's a fork in the road. When you see if, he's talking about a fork in the road in our life. And it's us deciding, you know what, I'm going to do it my own way. I got it from here. Or, you know what, I need Christ, and I need to follow that path. I need to take up my cross, and I need to just follow in his footsteps. Good point, good point.
Hey, Moses, I just want to commend you for stepping up to the plate as a young person and taking on your calling in a serious way. And I want to encourage you and others. There's a word here in Acts, that Acts chapter 4, and starting at verse 13, and it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." And it is just so important for the discipleship method to continue and to be passed on from generation to generation. And I'm glad that you have a heart for it, and that God has placed it on your heart, because you don't need to have a PhD in theology. It's common people who were uneducated, that Jesus passed on his spirit to. You know, and I know that sometimes in my own personal experience, that sometimes my education gets in the way of of believing that God is still in the miracle-working business. And I try to insert myself when the only thing that God wants is for me to spend more time with him. And it's interesting that when I do, and I start going throughout my day, like you had stated, that you just have 15 minutes, but in a real relationship with God, that when you walk into a room, when you step out on the street, when you say hello to your neighbor, when you're in your office, when you're with a client, how many times the atmosphere changes and people know that I've spent time with Jesus. So I just encourage you, my brother, thank you so much for bringing this word to us. Good word. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Moses. My name is Misty. Thank you so much for your declaration. I love the topic that you're walking us through this morning, and be looking forward to the next couple of series on discipleship. As I was listening, the words discipleship and relationship, it just sent me to thinking about how being a ship is a way to transport from one place to another, you know, people, cargo, or whatever, but that you spoke about Christ spending time in relationship with the disciples, creating discipleship, that how important it is to spend time with those that we come alongside of on this journey to build up the relationships, to learn as we walk in relationship with Christ to be obedient to the word and his calling on our lives, in our lives, to build up the kingdom. And I just went and looked at Matthew 28 and 18 through 20, the lower part of that says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not what I think that someone should be doing, but what the word of God has commanded me. And I just reproduce what Christ has done through the disciples' example that are biblical into our current lives today, not deviating to the left or to the right, you know. And he said he would be with us to the end of the world. And just a reminder that it's a relationship building that builds discipleship and to reproduce what Christ had called his 12 disciples originally to do, to go and take the word throughout the world, teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you so much this morning. God bless you in all that you're doing.
Moses? Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Hi, Moses. It's Mom. I'm driving right now, but I just wanted to comment. Great declaration. I'm so glad that it's God who preordains and qualifies us even before we even feel him. I'm glad that we don't see it. You know, we certainly don't see it. We feel like we're not, some of us feel like we're just not good enough and we just don't have it. And it's not going to be possible. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to do that ever, ever, ever. And not only am I never going to do it, I don't want to do it. I don't want to ever do that. I don't want to ever be taken to a higher place. And it's great that God just looks and laughs. He looks and laughs because he truly does pick us, and none of us are qualified, and none of us were qualified. He makes us qualified. He tells us as we spend time with him and trust him, he qualifies us. And that's all he requires, is that we have that faith to trust him, even at the midnight hour. You've got to do something at 12:01, and if you even come to him with the utmost faith at the midnight hour, he works in and through you, and it's not even, most of the time, it's not even for the other person. It's for you. It's for you to be blessed. It's for you to be taken to another level of his glory, and it's great. It's beautiful. So I just wanted to share that with you. I really love the fact that he's the one who qualifies us. And if we're just not good enough yet, don't worry, because your good enough's going to be right around the corner. I just wanted to share that. Thank you, Moses. I love you. And I think your phone's on mute.
Thank you. I just wanted to just give everybody just an opportunity to just share. I know we all have a lot of experiences with a lot of this stuff. So I just wanted to continue to keep the line open to if anybody had anything to add. All right. Any last call?
Morning, Moses.
Morning.
This is Adrian. I didn't get a chance to hear all of your declaration, but my understanding and learning about discipleship is it's about the relationship, like you said, yes, but it's also one to be just like Christ. In other words, I don't want to just know what he knows. I want to be just like him. So when you see me, you see him. There is no difference between he and I. My walk is in love. My walk is in being a blessing to others, humbling myself and caring and doing what God has called for me to do. So it's a mirror effect. When I look in the mirror, I behold Christ, not myself. So discipleship is a very important place to be, because we are learning and becoming who God has called for us to be. And I agreed, it is when he says if it is a choice, he showed that to me a long time ago, that it's a choice. You choose either to serve and to follow after him, or you choose to go your own direction. That's how loving he is. And when we talk to people in evangelism, we should let people know that God is about relationship between them. It's about learning of God and learning his ways and learning how it pleases him when we seek him and we talk to him. He's like a father that waits on us to talk to him. At one time he said, if you look at your children and you see your children doing things and you want to tell them what's best, but you have to wait on them to come to you because most of the time they aren't hearing you. So God patiently waits on us so that we will start listening for him and start following where he says go, because he gives us a choice and it allows us to make choices. But our desire should be to serve him and to follow him and to be just like him. So discipleship is important, and it is about relationship, and relationship is very, very important. So I hope that made sense.
Yeah, perfect, clear sense. And I'm so happy, Adrian, that you said that, because I was talking about that last night with a friend, and he was elaborating a lot on that, about us mirroring and reflecting Jesus through that being, you know, a point of it, and it relationship being the vessel to that. And I could talk about this stuff. I'm just so like intrigued by all this. Like, I mean, I could talk about this for like 4 hours, you know. I love especially the concept and seeing it. And I just want to thank everybody too for the feedback too. Sorry about that. I just wanted to give everybody a chance to kind of share. I know we don't have too much time. But I do appreciate the feedback, and I just want to keep it open. If anybody else has anything to add, this is like amazing. I think we're all being blessed by everyone's feedback right now. It's super powerful. So if anybody, please, if you have anything you're feeling on your heart to share right now, please share.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject this one more thing. This is Nelson Santiago. You know, this morning, we've actually had an object lesson about discipleship in our families. Because your mother has brought you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And as a result of the way that she brought you up and discipled you, you now have an opportunity to disciple others. And so many times I think we miss an opportunity of discipling people perhaps in our own families. And this is just a great object lesson for all of us to take to heart and to pray for our children, our grandchildren, that we can be used to disciple them. And certainly we can be used to intervene in prayer in their life. So it's, I think, an amazing object lesson to see that your mother now has an opportunity of sharing what she has poured into you through you to us and to wherever it is that God has assigned you. So I just made that observation. I thought I'd just throw that out there.
Oh, totally. Totally, totally does. And thank you for the feedback, Nelson, too. Both when the earlier things you were saying, too, very, 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 very insightful. And I think it ties in with what Adrian was saying, too. And I think they're paired and matched perfectly because when you're in a relationship with somebody, you start to mirror. You start to act like them. And I've seen that in my life when I was younger. I would sometimes say things that my friends were saying, and I would catch it later on. I would realize it. And I think in that relationship with, when we're spending time with Christ, we really will start to mirror him. And that's the best thing with family is that, and I think that's why family is a big, big metaphor and analogy in the Bible too. A lot of times, father, son, it's brought up constantly, is because God is generational and he does care to work through the intimacy and relationship that we develop in our discipleship. So super awesome points, super, super good stuff. Does anybody else have anything to add to any of that? Please beg you to just bring it up. This is really good. Good stuff.
I have one more thing. I like the fact that as you read, you can see things that Jesus did, like the fact that in that era when they had the rabbi, a rabbi didn't go and find students. A rabbi waited for the students to come to him and to show him the accolades that they had done, all the different things that they had learned. And, a student wanted to be, had to show himself, I guess you could say, kind of worthy to be the rabbi's disciple. And here came Jesus, who was a rabbi. He was given by two people, well, two things that he had chutzpah. In other words, he spoke with authority. With God who said, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." And then John the Baptist, who everyone knew, gave him acknowledgement that he spoke with authority. And so as a rabbi, he went and found his disciples, which was against all their rules. You had to prove yourself to be worthy of a rabbi, whereas Jesus didn't go and get those that were learned. He went and got those that were unlearned and brought them in and taught them. And as they learned his way, and they learned his teachings, and they learned how to help people. So it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And as you know Christ, and as you get to know him, and you spend time with him and talk to him and learn of him and learn of how he wants us to walk in love and learn of how to not say things. The word says, "Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves." We don't say things to hurt people. We don't do things to hurt people. We don't cause issues to hurt people. We're to be harmless as dove, walking in love. The people were drawn to Christ because of the love that was in him. So as a disciple, we should be walking in love. There should not be this other person. And as we learn to walk in love, we learn to follow him, learn to serve him, it's about love. And love is most important in the relationship. Love is most important in any relationship. So I appreciate the fact that, you know, you get to see that Christ shows people that according to their standards, this was not the people that they would have chosen. I like the fact that he said he chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. So, and then I remember he says, he that thinketh himself to be wise, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. So it's about learning of Christ and letting go of what the world says and learning how to walk in love and to serve Christ as he has called for us to serve, and being loving people. That's what will draw people to us. That was what will draw people to the church. That's what will draw people to Christ, is walking in love.
Wow, that is everything right there. To me, that is my life right there, my life. Study everything you just said. I hope if anyone's taking notes, that is a big thing that was just said right now, that it all culminates into love, and it should always be the fruit that we bear is love from that. And it will. And that's how it's almost weighed. That is so incredibly on point. I believe that is so incredibly on point to the whole purpose of it. And love is that. It's not getting anything in return. It's not, it's almost, you know, giving up your own kind of convention of thought for it. So that is huge. I really hope everybody was able to track along with that, because that is, I'm talking, incredibly important. So, does anybody have anything to kind of follow up with any of this or anything? And please add. I beg you to add. This is why why we do this, because together in the community, we're able to just really sharpen a point home, as you can see right now. So please, if you have anything, if there's something on your heart, you're thinking about saying it, please share it, say it.
Hi, Moses. This is Bernice. Thank you so much for the declaration. I think that one of the things that really struck me when you just said the person that spoke before me was the love part of it, and that love begets a truth that when we abide in him, that's where we beget the love part. It's a loyalty. And in the scriptures that you were reading, was so powerful to me. I really believe that it opened up my eyes to a whole lot of different things. I saw abide in a whole different way. To abide in him is to be loyal, is to sit with him and to set myself apart, which is also in the scriptures where you mentioned. Well, in the scripture, I think it's John, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And the Hebrew word is to consecrate and to set apart, to set yourselves apart. And I think it's the Greek is to live in harmony. And that begets, so the harmony, love begets harmony, and love begets loyalty. And that's the thing that sets so deep within me, and it was so powerful, and it's life-changing. So your declaration is truly part of, and as far as discipleship goes, it is part of becoming that family, becoming the love, and understanding exactly what it is, and that's what this has done for me. Thank you.
Yes, now we are rolling. Thank you guys so much. This is what I desired for this, is that we build together on this, because that is so crucial. And it really is all connected, and it really is all tied, and it becomes this kind of like network and this kind of web of fruit that we produce when we start imitating Christ. And it comes back to this, we're starting to, you know, come full circle with all this. So I'm going to have to start. I'm taking notes right now. So does anybody have anything else to add on top of that? Please share. This is great. And I really highly encourage to take notes on what's being shared right now is so true to so many aspects of our walk. So please share, keep sharing if you have anything.
Also, I just wanted to say that all of these things that from the very beginning and from what you were saying and to from each person that added to what it is, that is, it's pure growth, and it is essential that we understand. It is essential in our understanding and everything that we do, that these are the pieces that we need to live. These are the things that we need to live by. And when we live by these things, God is, that's where he lifts the standard. And that's when we become true disciples, and not just our words are noticed and recognized, but our walk. We may not say anything. We may just walk by a person and they see the light. And that's the thing that is important in this whole message of discipleship.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with that more, because he goes before us. You know, it's almost like we just rest in him in that relationship, and where we go. And I know we all know it. We've all kind of felt it. There's a certain way a person carries himself when they're spending time with God, because you have that peace within you, and it will start to emanate. And it kind of just like, there's just like vibes about people. And it's very real. It's very pragmatic on a very everyday level. It's, you know, you can just tell. And even ourselves, we feel a kind of difference when we're spending time with God, when we're in our word, when we're praying, when it's when it becomes daily bread. People can feel it. People know. And we know that by just sometimes someone walks in a room and it's just their personality. It's not that you don't have problems, but you handle everything with grace. And that is super,
can I
super
add something?
Yes, go ahead, please.
And it's really amazing because, you know, for me, I really didn't grow up loving people. You know, I truly didn't. I mean, I grew up with what other people would have, I grew up with a lot of hate from, you know, around me. And the way that I know, the miraculous way that I know that I've been profoundly affected by God is because I can love. And it's crazy, even to my inner voice, it tells me, like, why are you loving them? Why are you loving them? You're not supposed to be loving them. You're supposed to be hating them. It's funny, but, you know, right before my very eyes, I'm loving people that the world would not love. The world would not be forgiving and loving. And so it's a beautiful thing, because that's a way that you can measure and gauge yourself, is by the love that you have for somebody that you should not be loving. You should not be forgiving. So it's a great thing for me to see that change coming from hatred or coming from a life where I should have hated a lot more, or I should have ended up being a hater. I'm just not that way today. I forgive very easily. And like I said, that little inner voice of mine says, shouldn't have did that. They didn't deserve it. Nope. Don't look at them when you walk in a room. There's a hater over there. There's a hater over there. Don't love them. But God supersedes that. And he shows me to love that, or he allows me to love them. It just naturally rolls off of Monique, or Moni. It just naturally rolls off of me. And I shock myself sometimes. But that's really what you do need. It's the most important ingredient to be able to be used by him and further his kingdom is to have that love, and to really realize that you have that love, and to be proud of that love. Don't be shocked. I just wanted to add that.
Moni, this is Dee Dee. Thank you, Moses. I was waiting to. Moni, you said pretty much what I've been laying here listening to. It is about love, and they will know that we are his disciples by our love, but not just to talk it, but to show it. So that's so important, because words are so easy, but they need to see it, a demonstration of what love is. So we can say it and sing praises and, you know, but to truly love people, like Moni said, and thank you, that forgiveness part, and to truly just forgive others. And Moses, thank you because of his love. He died on Calvary for us. That's love. So I'm learning to always consider the cross when I want to hold, you know, somebody be mad even at people for the smallest things. When he died on the cross, how can I? It's almost like how dare I? In my messy self, flashing on my family at times, and then I get convicted because it's like, how dare you? He died on the cross, and you're acting a fool over something so petty. So I don't want to talk about it. I want them to, when my children and family look at me, I want them to see the love and the light, not just because I say it, because it's easy to say, but I want them to show up. So I want my light to get even brighter. That's all. I love you, and thank you for your mighty word. You are just an awesome young man, and I love you.
Thank you. Oh, yes.
It's Miss D again, and I'm just going to chime in here about the love. You know, my own personal experiences that lead me back to that, to Galatians in chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the essence of Jesus Christ, who he is. And when we're infused with the Holy Spirit, we're infused with his love. In order to reproduce the fruit of the Spirit in my own life, I have to remember to go back. In order for me to have joy, peace, and be able to long suffer in this world I live in, I have to stand in the essence of Christ, which is love. And also, when he called his 12 disciples, he empowered them over unclean spirits. We have unclean spirits. We've been called, I've been called, to be transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, to be able to live in this world so that I can reproduce the fruit of the Spirit. And it starts here. That's why, for me, the relationship with him is very important, and it may not reflect to the world because me, in this body, in this physicalness, know how to walk through the world because I am born of this flesh, but the internal me is changing and being transformed every day into the likeness of Christ, which is love, which is the essence of love, and praying always that he continues to search my heart so that I can become a better disciple and be a reflection of the Son and not try to be the Son. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying you this morning and all the comments that have come across. Thank you.
Yes, and amen to that. Absolutely. In Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, which is what we're all kind of together, collectively, we're really edging at. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it's exactly from the rabbi, standard that they had and not conforming to that, to everything that was saying about like not conforming to the standards of maybe even, you know, any kind of hatred, any kind of unforgiveness. It's very true to all of us. I mean, even I myself this week had situations where I was upset like at a person over something so small and I would not let it go. And I just had to say something and I had to get it off my chest and it was going to bother me if I didn't say anything. And then afterwards, I just felt that voice saying, did you really need to say it? You couldn't let it go. You really couldn't let it go. And because I knew that it just wasn't in alignment with everything that I had been taught. It wasn't, you know, and I have to be honest about that. I have to be real about that, I still do that. You know, I still do that stuff because it's so easy to give into the flesh like that. But the opposite, and that's what the world would tell you to do. Oh, you need to speak up. You need to say something about that. You know what I mean? But the love is laying down. It's sacrificing because part one of that Romans 12 is talking about the sacrifice, that we're living sacrifices. We're not doing what we want to do. We're an analog for Christ's love because it's been implanted within us, within our hearts already. So yes, super powerful stuff. Please, if anybody has anything else to share, I urge you. To share it, please. Thank you.
I appreciate your declaration. It was really good. One of the things that I also recognize is patience. The word says, in your patience possesses your soul. And we have to really work on being patient with people. If you look at the things that the disciples did
Christ was patient with them. I mean, some of the things they did, he was like, how long must I be with you? Things that they should have been able to do, they did not do. So we have to learn how to be patient. But even after the patience, when love came in, the disciples were no longer fearful. If you remember, Peter denied Christ 3 times, fearful. But when the love filled him, the Holy Spirit filled him, the fear was gone. And said, perfect love cast out fear. So love, the love that God wants us to be in, is a state of being. It's where love emanates from you all the time, wherever you go. That's the state of being that God wants us to walk in. That's where the Holy Spirit is filling you with love. But the patience is one of the most important things to have with that love, because you have to be patient with people. And I fall short sometimes. People can, they do some things on the, when you're driving. They do some things when you're walking. And it's like, really? Did you really just do that? But then we got to remember, if Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, who are we to convict or condemn them for the things that they do? We have to pray for them. We have to see as Christ saw and see that they belong to God, and we have to lift them up in prayer, and we have to speak in peace and love and not in the world's teaching. So we have to learn the patience, and I'm one of these people who's learning about the patience. I have patience in some things and some things I don't, but I praise God that it's a growth, and it's a continual growth in learning how to be patient with people and walk in love.
That is so accurate. I mean, I see that in my own life. That is so extremely accurate. And, you know, to kind of, you know, my own kind of perspective of that is, you know, for example, in my situation recently where I just got really, and it is lack of patience. That's what I had, at least, because God has been so patient with me in my time of growing and in my life. I have no right. It is total hypocrisy for me to not have that same patience for other people, because I do the same thing in a lot of senses. I'm better at lying to myself about it, though, you know, and in my life I have been too. So I definitely take that very seriously, but I see it also in this sense that those are people, and a lot of times the enemy does not want to see us build a relationship with. And if I was coming from that perspective, I would want to break up the most powerful bonds, the most powerful unions. I would want everybody to be divided, right? I would want, if I saw two people, you know, mixed together well and could build each other up closer to Christ, discipleship, I would not want those people. So I would be very cognizant of the attacks that might happen with individual people, individual family members, you know, and that patience is so key, because we want to see a change now. We want to see them do this now. But God wanted us to conform to his image at a certain point too, and we definitely didn't. I know I definitely didn't. So patience is super, super key in that, because there's family members that I've been praying to quote-unquote change, start going to church, all those things, for years. I'm talking literal years I've been praying to see something, and then I realize I'm right here. Like, I've been next to them for all these years. Why can't I go take them to lunch? Why can't I start showing them God's love? God's love is already here. He implanted it in me, so I could start implanting it in them. But I'm waving some magic prayer wand. You know what I mean? I'm just expecting for me to sit back and, you know what, God'll fix them next month. And it's not even about fixing them. It's about loving them. And it's about being patiently enduring with one another. And that's where, you know, I still got to work on that. I get super frustrated sometimes, but God didn't quit on me. He didn't give up on me. He patiently waited for me. The best I can do is love them through it. And that is so crucial. But love is like a cold. You can catch it very, very easily when it's properly delivered. When it is, and it's powerful. It is powerful. When it gets implanted in somebody, it becomes contagious. And that's why we love, because we saw a love that transformed us. That's why we all do what we do. That's why we all read. That's why we all study. That's why we all, you know, do our thing. You know, so that is so, so crucial. I know. Man, I know that I personally, I would love to hear about this for days straight, days on end. So is there anybody else that has anything to add before we close out in prayer? All right, cool. So we're gonna close out, and I'll be doing part two next Friday. So please, I beg you, continue to join us next Friday. Please, please. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's so much good stuff. So much just fruit-bearing quality stuff being shared. So I want to thank you, Declare Victory, for you know, allowing me to speak again. Is such a blessing. I learn so much every time I share. And I want to thank everybody so much for sharing today. That is literally, that is the gold right there. It literally was gold that was shared today. So I thank you guys so much. And I myself have been so blessed by what everybody shared today. So I want to close out in prayer. And I just want to, like I said, just invite you back next week. I'll be doing part two next Friday if you want to just add on. So, Father, I can't worship you and thank you enough for who you are. The fact that you have worked so mightily in so many countless lives is just a testimony of your unfailing, undying love and how truly, truly powerful it is. So I stand right here as somebody who is humbled and thankful at who you are, and that not only have you continually taught me and each one of us, but that you continue to do it, and you do it so graciously and so masterfully, and you are so wise in the way that you shape the hearts of men and women. And I thank you for who you are. I just respect you, Father. I in my heart, I respect and love who you are and who you're shaping each one of us to be. So I ask that this sustain throughout our days, that this not just end at 8 o'clock a.m., but that this sustain Saturday, Sunday, and continuing in our life, and that we become those cities on a hill, those lights, those candles that aren't put out, and that people see what's so different about them. Why are they like that? And that they catch the bug too, and that the rest of our life that we're giving the bug to people. So I thank you for that, and I honor you that we get to partner with you in that, and that we reflect your heart and your love, the love that you extended to us, that we get to now extend it to others and see that transformative power. I thank you for that, Father, and for that you are honored, and for that you are worshipped, and for that you are glorified, and I'm so thankful for all that you've done in each one of our lives. So I just want to just seal that in Jesus' mighty, powerful name over every person's life, and that we feel the energy and the wisdom and the rest that comes with that every day in our lives. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody, have a good day.
All right, have a good day.
Have a good day.
Amen. Have a great day.
Have a blessed day.
God bless.